Our Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Beis makes it very clear that it says unequivocally, Ad Seisa Kochavim is Yomamahu. The day continues until Seisa Kochavim. So why, as Tosos asks, why are we machmir about Ben Hashmashos? Ben Hashmashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Says Ben Atam, it's because we don't know when Seisa Kochavim is. In Echanami, the halachic rule is correct. It is day, Vaday day until Seisa Kochavim. The question is, we, though, don't know exactly when Seisa Kochavim is. The Gemara says three stars. When is three stars? We don't know when that is. And that's where we have this whole Suffolk period called Ben Hashmashos. It's a Suffolk not of, has the day ended, is not the right way to say it. It's a Suffolk if we've yet reached Seisa Kochavim. But if you asked in a, if someone asks you, when does the day end in Halacha, it's clear the day ends at Seisa Kochavim. The Suffolk is when is Seisa Kochavim. But the day ends at Seisa Kochavim. So, this is a machlokas in the Gemara, because the Gemara in Shabbos, the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us, on Lamed Aleph, there are a bunch of things that you need to do in your house, Erev Shabbos, this is in Bamim Adlikin, and there are certain things that if it's already, if it's Ben Hashmashos, you can do them. Other things that you can't do during Ben Hashmashos. The Gemara asks, what's this whole Ben Hashmashos thing? Isn't everything clear in Halacha? Tzeis Kochavim is night. Up until Tzeis Kochavim is day, Pesachim Daf Beis. Up until Tzeis Kochavim is day, after Tzeis Kochavim is night, also the Gemara and Megillah and Daf Chav. So the day goes until Tzeis. What's this whole Ben Hashmashos being mentioned in the Mishnah and Shabbos, that during Ben Hashmashos, you're not allowed to be Maestrin Es Havadai, you're not allowed to be Mapilin Es Hakelim, you're not allowed to do all these things during Ben Hashmashos, during Suffolk, that it's already nighttime. So the Gemara on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is this Suffolk period where we don't know if it's yet Seisa Kochavim. And that is Mishatishka Achama, when the sun sets, calls man Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. So that's indication number one. This is Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, Mishatishka Achama, and call Zman that the sky is red in the east. The eastern sky is red. Does it go until? So it says that when the sun initially sets, the bottom of the sky is dark, the top of the sky is still light. So if the top of the sky is still light, it's not night yet. But once it's Hishve, Tachton Le'elyon, once it's Hishve, Tachton Le'elyon, so then we're at night. So according to the Gemara Lama Dalit, it's Mishatishka Acham is when it starts, and it goes until Hishve Elyon L'Tachton. Okay, that's Lama Dalit on the base. Then a little bit later on the page in Lama Dalit, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana. Then a little bit later on the page, on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes Shmuel. There's a machlokas what Shmuel said. Shmuel's a very early Tana, Amora. And Shmuel was an expert of astrology. Astronomy, excuse me. Astrology is like tarot cards and reading the stars. And that's not a real science. Astronomy is a real science. Astronomy is the study of the planetary movements. Right? So Shmuel was an expert in astronomy. He writes that he knows the Shvilei Derekia just like he knows the streets of Narda. Just like in your own town, where you know all the back roads. And so he knows the streets of the skies. He knows them just as well as he knows all the back alleys of Narda, which is where he was from. Right? You're probably thinking, like, I also know the sky as well as I know Narda. But he was from Narda, so he actually knew Narda really well. And he knew the sky as well as he knew Narda. So Shmuel says, and there's a machlokas Rabba and Rav Yosef, who are later Amoraim, what exactly Shmuel said. But we assume, like Rabbah, that Shmuel said 3/4 of a mil. So now I just want you to see, like, historically what's going on here. Rabbi Yehuda said this, like, vague statement, that it's Mishtishka Chama until it's dark. Okay, great. What do I do with that? How much time is that? I need a number, Rabbi. Don't, like, give me, like, things look in the sky. Tell me a number. So he says, okay, it's 3/4 of a mil. Later, the Amoraim came and said, I'll tell you what that means. It means 3/4 of a mil. A mil is the amount of time it takes to walk a mil. So we assume that, at least for now we'll assume, it's a machlokes. Is a mil 18 minutes to walk, or is it 24 minutes to walk?
a full mil, to walk a mil. So, what would be 3/4 of a mil?
It would either be 13.5 minutes, or it would be 18 minutes.
Okay, this is a 13.5 or 18 of a mil, it's 3/4 of a mil. So that means that the period of Bein HaShmashos,
how long is this period from Tishkachama until Hishva Elyon L'Tachtom?
How long is that time period?
It's either 13 and a half minutes or it's 18 minutes,
which means 3/4 of a mil.
Then we have another Gemara, which I
forgot to give you on the Makoro sheet, so I'll just read it to you very quickly, but you're all familiar with it, and that's Gemara Lamed Hayam and Beis.
Gemara Lamed Hayam and Beis, quote Shmuel again, this is Lamed Hay Amid Beis, they again quote Shmuel, and now we have Shmuel saying, Kochav Echad, day. Shtei Kochavim, Bein HaShmashos. Three Kochavim, Laila. So, two Kochavim is Bein HaShmashos. Three Kochavim is Laila.
Which means that Bein HaShmashos is basically from two stars to three stars, or when one star changes to two stars, until three stars. And Rav Yossi comments and says, by the way, when we say stars, we don't mean big stars, we don't mean little stars, we mean medium stars.
So, this is Gemara number three.
So basically, Gemara 2 and 3 are attempts to explain what the Tana Rav Yehuda meant when he said, Mishatishka Achama until Hishvan Elyon L'Tachton. How much is that time period between here? So is it 3/4 of a mil, or is it the amount of time from two stars to three stars? And Hishvan Elyon L'Tachton is when you can see three stars. So it's trying to give like more detail to what Rabbi Yehuda said. What's fascinating is if you take a look in the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes, this is in Perek Hey, Halacha Dalet, Hilchos Shabbos. This is just like a great example of the brilliance of the Rambam, of like how he just wrote his book in a way so precise without telling you anything. Like you just have to figure it all out. And this, by the way, was a style of writing. In case you're wondering, like, why would he write this way? Was that trying to trick everybody? This was considered, this is the way that Chachamim wrote back then in all cultures. It was considered to be, the Chacham wrote as little as possible, leaving it for you to have to figure out what he meant. It's the opposite today. Today, like a really good shiur is like, he explains everything and it's so clear and explains everything out. That back then, it was like, you know, the Rav would walk in, say like four lines, and then you'd have to like decipher what he meant. And you're like, you couldn't go ask him, right? So the Rambam here writes, Perek Hei Halacha Dalet. That's why, by the way, that the Mishnah is very short, and the Gemara is much longer, and the Rishonim are much longer, and then you open up Achron, you write 10 pages about three lines in a Ritva, because as the generations continued, we had to explain more, explain more, explain more. So, Perikei Halacha Dalet, Rambam writes, listen to this. Mishatishka Achama, Ad Shiyiru Shlosha Kochavim, Beinonim, that's Bein HaShmashos. So asks the Kesef Mishnah, what in the world did the Rambam just do? He just mixed and matched Gemaras. He says, Mishatishka Achama, until three Kochavim. He should have said, Mishatishka Achama, until Hishvan Elyon L'Tachton. Or he should have said, from two stars to three stars, which is 3/4 of a mil. Why does he start with this Gemara and end with this Gemara? Says the Kesef Mishnah. What's his point? His point is to tell you that all these Gemaras are not arguing with each other. They're all the same Shita. And therefore, from Mishatishka Achama until three stars, that is Bein HaShmashos, and that gets us to Laila. Good. So this is the Gemaras in Shabbos, and it's very clear that the amount of time from sunset until night is a short amount of time. It's 18 minutes, it's 13 and a half minutes. We generally assume that a mil is 18 minutes, so it's really 13 and a half minutes. You will go out tonight if you want to, or you don't have to, but you can just glance up at the window if you want, and you'll see that at 4:48 tonight, it's going to be plenty light out. If you would go outside and try to see stars, you would have real, real trouble seeing stars after 13 and a half minutes at 4:48 tonight. But that is the Shita of the Gemara in Shabbos. Then we have the Gemara in our Mesachim on Tzadi Dalet, where the Gemara, dropping and ignoring for now all the ovios of the earth, and the bottom line that you see in the Gemara there is that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the time, Mishatishka, from Shkiyas Achama until Tzeis Kochavim is the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil. What does that mean, to walk 4 mil?
Well, 18 times 4. That's good, right? Marm Sachim says it's 4 mil. 18 times 4 is 72. Or 24 times 4 is 96. So we're anywhere from 72 to 96 minutes is going to be the period from Shkia until Tzeis, which will take us, if we just do the straight up math, 435, these are our times. This is the Gemara in Shabbos. What are the two times? According, what's 435 plus 72?
547.
547, good. We wrote that already, 547. And what's 96?
An hour and 12 minutes. 601.
So this is going to be
611.
The Gemara. This is going to be the Gemara in 611. This is going to be the Gemara in Pesachim. So this is a very big difference, as you can see. If you go outside tonight at 547 or at 611, you'll see it's going to be much, much, much darker than at 448 or 453. So these are our Gemaras that we saw. But forgetting the Metzias for a second, what do we do with the Stira here? It's just the Stira and the Gemaras. How can the Gemara be saying that both of them are the times of Shkia and Tzeis Kochavim? So comes Rabbeinu Tam in classic form. Rabbeinu Tam says, can't be a machlokes. It's got to be that there's two dinim here. Yeah, right. The Brisker method was applied first by the Balei Tosfos. When they had a stira between two sources, they said, okay, we have to come up with a chiluk. This must be talking about A, this must be talking about B. So Tosfos says it must be that the Gemara is using the word shkia in two different ways. The first is when the disk of the sun is no longer visible to the eye, when the disk of the sun goes below the horizon. So that is shkia, when the sun goes below the horizon. And he says this is what we would call tchila shkia, or first shkia. This is when the sun sets. So that's the Gemara in. That's going to be the Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim is tchilas shkia. That's when the sun actually sets. And as we all know, that when the sun sets, you'll see tonight when you go outside at 4:36, you'll see it's still plenty light out. That's not the beginning of Ben HaShemashos. That's not a Safek Laila. How can that be a Safek Laila? It's still very light. That Shkia there is the beginning of sunset, and it lasts for 72 minutes, and that period. And then you get to 72 minutes. That's going to be the Gemara in Pesachim. And that's the period from sunset until night. So indeed, sunset to night is 72 minutes. Okay, what do we do about the Gemara in Shabbos? Gemara in Shabbos said that from Shkia until night is only 13 and a half minutes. It says, no, the second Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos, is talking about not Tchila Shkia, but Sof Shkia. Or, let's call it Shkia number two. And Shkia number two is not when the sun is setting, but it's when the light of the sun is disappearing. It's not when the sun disappears. That's the first Shkia. The second Shkia is when the light of the sun disappears. And that takes place 3 1/4 mil after the first one. Right? Because that one's going to take place over 3/4 of a mil. So that leaves 1/4 of a mil left. So it's going to be the 3 plus 1/4, which is going to be 58.5 minutes, if we use the 18-minute cheshbon. So after 58.5 minutes, we're done with the initial shkia. Then, after 58.5 minutes, we have 13 and a half minutes left of the full period. That's when this second shkia takes place. So, we have sunset. It goes for 58.5 minutes. At that point, we have shkia number two. This goes for 13.5 minutes, and then you get to Tzeis. So the whole period is 72 minutes. This is the Gemara in Pesachim. It's telling you when this whole process begins. And this is the Gemara in Shabbos.
It's telling you when the end of the process begins, from Shkia number 2 until Tseis. And indeed, this is Bein Hashmashos. The Gemara Pesachim never mentioned the word Bein Hashmashos. Right? You realize that. The Gemara Pesachim never mentioned the word Bein Hashmashos. It just said from Shkia until Tseis. So there's no halachic nafkamina yet, the fact that it's been Shkia. It's still day, al pi halacha. Remember, day goes until Tseis Kochavim. Day only ends over here at Tseis Kochavim. The Gemara in Shabbos comes in as Mechadesh, that right before Tseis, there's a small period of Suffolk. What's that? That's from Shkia number 2 until Tseis. The last 13 and a half minutes of the 72-minute period, there's something called Bein Hashmashos, which is when, it might already be nighttime. It might already be nighttime. And therefore, we have to be machmir at the end because we don't have the expertise to know if 3 stars have come out. Now, you see that according to Rabbeinu Tam, what Rabbeinu Tam is basically doing is he's, in terms of which Gemara is he reading literally and which Gemara is he reading slightly less literally, he is giving a little bit more weight to the Gemara in Pesachim. Because he's basically saying that when the Gemara in Pesachim says Shkia, that means Shkia. And the Gemara in Shabbos, he has to sort of reinterpret that when the Gemara says Shkia there, it doesn't mean the setting of the sun, it means like the setting of the light of the sun. It's when it starts to really get dark. That's when it really starts to get dark. And so this is Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion. And the Tosfos Shantz notes that it's actually super meduyak in the Gemara. And I think the Maharal al-Shakar said it as well. But the Tosfos Shantz says it earlier. And he's a Talmud of the Ri and the school of the Bali Tosfos. He notes that the Gemara in Shabbos says the term Mishatishka Chama, as opposed to the Gemara in Pesachim that says Shkias HaChama. Now, whether one is more mashma earlier or later is not really the point. The point of the Tosfos Shantz is that it's 2 different terms. If it meant the same time period, we would expect, right, the way I presented this was that the Gemara uses the word Shkia in 2 different ways. But that's very irresponsible to use the word Shkia in 2 different ways if we're talking halachic sugya. So says the Tosfos Shantz, the Gemara doesn't use the word Shkia in both contexts. In one context it says Mishatishka Chama, and one context it says Shkia Sachama. And therefore, Shkia Sachama refers to this earlier period of Shkia, and Mishatishka Chama refers to the later one. And he says, I even have a raya for it in the Tosfos Shantz. The Tosfos Shantz has a very nice raya. The Gemara in Shabbos about Hadlokas Ner Chanukah says the Zman of Chanukah is from Mishatishka Chama Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk. So says the Tosfos Shantz, it can't mean what we call Shkia Sachama. It's still light out then. The whole idea of lighting candles is supposed to be at night, and you only see the lights at night. So if it meant Shkia Sachama, it's still light out at Shkia Sachama. Ella, the Gemara's Meduyuk, which term does it use? Mishatishka Chama Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk. Oh, Mishatishka Chama, that's the phrase from Shabbos. That's much later in the night. Ah, that makes much more sense, that you don't light candles until Mishatishka Chama. That's a different term than Shkia Sachama. So the Tosfos Shantz tries to bring this as a raya for the sensitivity to the word Mishatishka Chama as opposed to Shkia Sachama, and as well for this idea of Rabbeinu Tam that there's a later time. So this is Rabbeinu Tam's perspective on the sugya. However, as you hopefully saw in the Be'er Halacha, and it's also, there's one line referencing it to in the Maharal al-Sharkar, so the Gaonim and then the Gra following the Gaonim disagrees. He disagrees that this is the right way to work out the stira between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Pesachim. And the Gaonim say that there's really only one term, Shkia. And it means what we always think it means. It's when the disk of the sun sets below the horizon and it's no longer visible. And this is the Gemara and Shabbos. I'm going with the Gemara and Shabbos. That is Shkia. And Shkia indeed only lasts 3/4 of a mil. 13 and a half minutes, 18 minutes. That is Shkia. Zeu. So what do we do about the Gemara and Pesachim? He says, the Gemara and Pesachim, it's not even like a halachic Gemara. It's like a whole story about people walking. And that's just telling you an interesting astronomical fact. And what's the interesting astronomical fact? That until it gets really, really dark, this has nothing to do with Laila and halacha, until it gets really dark, it takes 4 mil. Indeed, from sunset until it gets pitch black, and a person would never walk at that time. It's so dark. So that's 72 minutes.
But there's no halachic repercussions to that. It's a got it to Gemara-ish, Gemara in Pesachim. The halachic Gemara is in Shabbos.
This is just very interesting, just in terms of Derech HaLimud, that when you have a stira between two Gemaras, so the Baalei Tosfos are always saying, they're both right, we just got to figure out how they can coexist. And the others will take the approach, the Rambam will do this much more often, just say like, no, I'll choose one Gemara. There's a stira in Gemaras, Gemara in Shabbos is right. What about the Gemara in Pesachim? Eh, we don't pass it that way, it's Lav Dafka, it's an Agadata. The Gemara in Shabbos is right. But that's basically what the Gaonim say. The Gaonim say that the Gemara in Shabbos is the Gemara. That's it.
Shkia is 13 and a half minutes. The Ben Hashmashos from Shkia until Seis. Seis is after 13 and a half minutes. This is the Gra. We go with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Pesachim, it's a nice, interesting point about darkness and skies, and it gets really dark after 72 minutes. Now, the Gra does note that you need to make a seasonal adjustment. Because in the Gemara, anyone who, I mean, we all know from when Shabbos starts, that throughout the year, the darkness and light, it changes based on the seasons. So the Gemara says, it's posh that when the Gemara says 3/4 of a mil, that only means at the Nisan and Tishrei, the Tkufa, at the equinox, when there's like that perfect day, when it's like that 6-6 day, so then it's 13 and a half minutes. But, and it's an Eretz Yisrael. I know you guys showed me, he says Babel, but if you look later in there, he says Babel O Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, he says later, Babel O Eretz Yisrael. But Babel and Eretz Yisrael are pretty similar. We always refer to Babel as being north of Eretz Yisrael, and it is slightly north, but it's much more east than it is north. And it doesn't have a major change in the times. So the elevation, see, we don't realize, if you would take Eretz Yisrael, if you would walk out of Eretz Yisrael, just like walk straight, and just fly directly due west of Eretz Yisrael, and you get to America, you know what state you'd be in? You'd be in South Carolina. Yeah. You'd be in, so the Gra says that even though the Gemara says 13.5, that has to be adjusted for, first of all, what time of the year it is, because certain times of the year. It also has to do with our elevation. You know, sometimes when you're on a plane, you look out the window, you see light. You don't realize that if you would be on the ground there, you would not see any light. The reason you see light is because the higher, right, as the, this is the earth, and the sun is going below the earth, the higher up you are, so the more you could see the sun. Right? Because the sun is going around like this. Shlomo, look, the sun's going around. If there's sunset and you would quickly run up a mountain, you'd be able to still see the sun.
Do you have more time about Mincha on an airplane?
So, well, no. So Rav Moshe Pasim, you do it based on what's going on the ground.
Mine's on a flight.
But, on my latest flight from El Al, they had an option on the map, for halachic zman.
Yeah,
although it says you can click on my location right here, and it was totally off. So if you want to do that, you should find your location. Go to the map, see where you are. Like I saw, I was like near Paris. Click on Paris, and then you'll get the real times. Because people were doing it based on my current location, and that was off.
What about the Maizman on flights?
I haven't seen that one.
It goes through the times you take off.
I'll print it out.
Okay. All right, so this is the machlokas between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. Now, I just want to point out that both opinions are a little bit hard to justify. Why? Well, for Rabbeinu Tam, if you go out after 72 minutes tonight, you will see it is pitch black. It is very hard to accept that at 71 minutes, it was still Safek Yom. And it's only now that we're at 72 minutes that it's nighttime. You go out, you'll see it's mamish pitch black. So how can we like wait to end Shabbos till then? It's so late. Think about it on the other side. What about Erev Shabbos? According to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have to start Shabbos until Shkia. Shkia tonight is going to be at, 5:47 minus 18 minutes, it's going to be, right, 13 and a half minutes, it's going to be right before this, it's going to be like at 5:30. How can you start Shabbos at 5:30 tonight? You're going to see it's very dark already at 5:30. How can we only start Shabbos at 5:30? That would be seemingly starting Shabbos very, very late. Then again, the Gaonim is also very hard to justify, because if you go outside after 13 and a half minutes, it's still very, very light out. How can we possibly say Shabbos is over at that point? So basically, when you go outside and you just use like your own brain, your own eyes, and you look at the sky, The Gaonim is just way too early. It's still way too bright for the day to be over. Again, now you might say, what do you mean? Who are you? Halacha defines when the day is over. Yeah, but the Gemara said three stars. You go out after 13 and a half minutes, there ain't no stars in the sky. I mean, they're there, but there are no stars in the sky after 13 and a half minutes. Or at least you don't see any of them. And if you wait till Rabbeinu Tam, the sky is filled with stars. Now here the sky won't be filled with stars. The sky will not be filled with stars. Because there's tremendous light pollution here. Because of the cities, there's a lot of light. It blocks the stars. But if you would go down to Mitzpe Ramon, you go down to the crater, and you turn off your car lights, and you look outside, that's like a thing to do, by the way, in Israel, is to drive into the crater and turn off your lights. So if you do that at Rabbeinu Tam time, you will see not three stars, you'll see more like 3,000 stars. It's full of stars. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Rea are both very hard to justify. So we're trying to figure out here, Rabbeinu Tam, the Gaonim. So I also want to share with you a great piece of Magga that also I think will deepen our appreciation of the sugya. If you look up, and I looked on earthsky.org, one of my favorite websites, earthsky.org. So if you look on earthsky.org, it tells you that nowadays in modern United States, we actually operate with three different types of what's called twilight. There's civil twilight, nautical twilight, and astronomical twilight. Allow me to read to you what it says on earthstar.org, because you'll see it mamish parallels the shitas. Listen. Twilight, civil twilight begins right after sunset. Keep in mind that they would reverse. Civil twilight begins the moment the sun slips below the horizon. The official definition of civil twilight is the time from when the sun disappears until the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon. So we've got, you're standing here. You've got your line of vision, the horizon that you can see. So the sun, when it gets to 6 degrees, that's called civil twilight. Okay? A measurement of 6 degrees of sky is a bit more than three. Okay, whatever. During civil twilight, there's enough light to see, meaning until 6 degrees, you're still able to see. People generally turn their lights on when they drive their cars, and the street lights start flickering on. You can imagine that. It's like dusk, we call it. It's like getting dark, and the street lights start to come on. The brightest planets are able to be seen at civil twilight. So that's civil twilight. And that is basically Shitas Hagon. That's Shitas Hagon. Then we've got nautical twilight. Nautical twilight is when civil twilight ends, and it's from 6 degrees until 12 degrees. Okay? Until the sun gets to here. 12 degrees. That's called nautical. At this time, bright stars are able to be seen, and that was called nautical because that's how they were able to start navigating in the sea at night. They would navigate based on the stars. So when the big stars that they were familiar with, like the North Star, when those would start to come out, so then that would be called nautical twilight. The sailors could start using the stars as directional cues. During nautical twilight, terrestrial objects are visible, but you need artificial light to carry on outdoor activity. So at this time, you could see me, but we wouldn't be able to have a catch. You'd get hit in the face with the ball. So you could see me, but there's still enough light, and only the brightest stars. And then we have astronomical twilight. Astronomical twilight is the period between 12 and 18 degrees. So from 0 to 6 is civil twilight. That's ben hashmashos lefi shitas, the Gaonim. 6 to 12, we don't have a shita per se. And then 12 to 18, that's going to be for Rabbeinu Tam. Because what does it say? It says, the definition of astronomical twilight is the period of time when the center of the sun is 12 degrees below the horizon until 18. You probably will not notice any illumination left in the sky at this time. For stargazers, this is the time when the fainter stars and clusters and other sky objects begin to appear and become good observing targets. This is probably a little bit after Rabbeinu Tam. Because look what he says. In mid-latitudes, let's say in the main parts of the Earth, astronomical twilight can last about from about an hour to an hour and a half after sunset. What's an hour and a half after? 60 to 90 minutes. So it's really
Rabbeinu Tam's time, is this period of what we call astronomical twilight.
Okay, so meaning this idea that, what's Rabbeinu Tam talking about? What are the Gaonim talking about? So I'm just trying to show you that in the United States, we also identify these periods as Shkia Ben HaShemashos periods. Civil twilight is because that's when people start going indoors, because it starts getting dark, starts getting dangerous to be driving without lights. That's the Shitas Gaonim. That's called civil twilight. That's when normal interaction. And astronomical twilight is for people who are really interested in the sky. That's when it's really nighttime. That's when I can really start to see all the stars. So Rabbeinu Tam, Shita of three stars means that's the beginning. L'chora, what he means, three medium stars, the beginning of the period when the stars of the sky start coming out. Okay, how do we paskin? So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch says regarding Tosefes Shabbos that there's a mitzvah to be mosif b'chol al kodesh. You're supposed to be mosif onto Shabbos. When are we mosif onto Shabbos? You can do that right after Shkia, right after sunset. Whoa, what do you mean right after sunset? That's Shabbos already, according to the Gaonim. It's very clear that who's he paskening like? He's paskening like Rabbeinu Tam. Shabbos doesn't really begin until the second Shkia. So if you want to do Tosefes Shabbos, you know what a good like landmark is? Wait till sunset. Now, when you wait till sunset, we, all of us, nowadays, we're starting, that's already Shabbos. We're already 20 minutes into Shabbos. Because we light candles nowadays 18 minutes before sunset. Before Shkia. That's what we do nowadays. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kabbalah Shabbos, so be Mekabel Shabbos after sunset. It's very clear that the Shulchan Aruch here, and the Moshe Rabbeinu points this out, is positing like Rabbeinu Tam. So it's really not Shabbos yet for another hour. So this is a great time to do Kabbalah Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah adds in Chaf Gimel that if you hold like the Gaonim and the Gross, and this is certainly not a good time to do Tosefes Shabbos, you'd actually be Mechal Shabbos if you would light your candles now, according to them. You would need to do a couple of minutes before Shkia. And many Rishonim, Rashi, Rambam, seem to paskin like the Gaonim and the Gross. And accordingly, it says in the Ber Halacha, Tosefes Shabbos needs to be done before sunset. So the Shulchan Aruch says you do sunset here after sunset, and the Mishnah Berurah says no, you should be doing Tosefes Shabbos here before sunset, because sunset is already going to be, at least for us, a suffix of Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch, at least here, there are other places in the Shulchan Aruch where it sounds like he's not possibly like Rabbeinu Tam, but at least here, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is like Rabbeinu Tam. This is the reason why he's most inspired in our Machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. Because that seems to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So, Lamaisa, how do we paskin in terms of when do we start Shabbos? So, here in Eretz Yisrael, the custom was always to follow the Grah. That is the old established minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and that means that Shabbos begins at Shkia. It begins at sunset. If you want to be Mekayim Tosefa Shabbos, you have to bring in Shabbos before sunset, before Shkia. And this is, we find in the writings of the Maral Bach, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, in the 1500s, that they paskin that way. The Prichadosh was here in the 1600s. He paskin that way. That is the minog over all the years. And there are certain cities, like there's evidence that in Tveria, they were always machmir for Rabbeinu Tam, but in the cities of Eretz Yisrael, like Hebron, Tzfas, even in Tzfas, where the Shulchan Aruch lived, the minog was, it's brought down, the minog was like the Gaonim, that we start Shabbos at Shkia. Okay. So when do we do Hadlakas Neiros? So everybody here always knows, 18 minutes, right? That's like when you run into the shower. Quickly. You know, it's, how much more minutes are left of the 18 minutes? I need to shower quickly. So what are these 18 minutes? So we light candles in America, many communities light candles, 18 minutes before Shkia. Before Shkia. Why 18 minutes? So first of all, we're dealing with Isser D'oraisa, Shabbos. Shabbos begins at Shkia, so we light the candles 18 minutes before in order to give us some space. That's number one. And that's why you could keep doing malacha during the 18 minutes. You just have to make sure you don't do malacha after Shkia. But we're also being machmir for two shitas being combined. One is the Urayim. The Urayim has a very interesting understanding of the Gemara and Shabbos, and he suggests that when the Gemara and Shabbos says 3/4 of a mil, that doesn't mean 3/4 of a mil after Shkia. It means 3/4 of a mil before Shkia. Now, 3/4 of a mil before Shkia means that
Ben Hashmashos begins before sunset. Now, how many more minutes before sunset? So we would take 13 and a half. But we said there's also a shita that a mil is 24 minutes. So we take both chumras, the Urayim, that Ben Hashmashos begins 3/4 of a mil before Shkia, and the more machmir version of a mil, and that gets you to 18 minutes. And that's why we light 18 minutes before Shkia. Here in Eretz Yisrael, many places light 20 minutes before Shkia. Why? Because they're basically doing the Urayim plus adding 2 minutes for Tosefta Shabbos. Right? Because the 18 minutes is when Shabbos begins, according to the Urayim. So we do 18 minutes before Shabbos. Why are we doing it? It's sort of like a nod to the Urayim. But it's also to give us a little bit of a buffer before Shabbos actually begins, because everyone's always running late on Erev Shabbos. So that's why, if someone asks, we say, yeah, you could still do malacha afterwards. If you really want to be machmir for the Urayim, then you shouldn't be doing malacha during the 18 minutes, because during the 18 minutes is Shabbos, according to the Urayim. But again, I think most people would just do it. It's like we use that shita in order to figure out for ourselves how much Tosefta Shabbos to do. So that's 18 minutes and 20 minutes. Many of you might be aware, though, that in Yerushalayim, they do 40 minutes. So why do they do 40 minutes? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that 40 minutes is an old minhag in Yerushalayim, and it was basically in order to allow the men to get out of the house and get to mincha on time. Right? Everyone knows, notorious. If you miss mincha, the minyan, when is it? It's on Erev Shabbos. Because they need to finish mincha before Shkia. Candle lighting is 18 minutes before Shkia. Mincha takes, let's say, 15 minutes. Should take 15 minutes. So if you wait, if you don't leave the house until candle lighting, and most men don't leave the house until candle lighting because their wife needs them. You know, once she lights candles, okay, then you can't do anything anymore. I mean, the man can, officially. But the house calms down once candle lighting happens. So until candle lighting, the man needs to be in the house. So if we wait till 18 minutes to light candles, so the man's in the house, then he has to walk or drive the 5-10 minutes till shul, so he gets to shul 10 minutes before Shkia, he's going to be halfway into mincha already. So therefore we do 40 minutes before. That way, she lights candles, the husband is free to leave the house, he walks gently to shul, he gets there 30 minutes before, he does a little shnayim mikra, he can daven mincha, and there's plenty of time until Shkia. So this is the assumed that Shabbos begins at Shkia. In America, this also is the case. We assume that Shabbos begins at Shkia. And it's a question now of how much do we light and be metabel Shabbos before Shkia. We noted the practice of 18 minutes or 20 minutes, which takes in the sheet of the Urayim into account, brought down by the Be'er Halacha, that according to the Urayim, really Ben Hashmashos begins 3/4 of a mil before Shkia. So that means that the 18 minutes are actually really Shabbos, according to the Urayim. We have to start Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia, and that's Mikra Adin. That's not the time to jump into the shower and fix the lights. But we assume that that's not really the case, because we'd have a mincha after that time, generally in America. And if we're already being Mekabel Shabbos, so we can't have a mincha because it's not chol anymore. So the general assumption is that we do 18 minutes based on that sheet of the Urayim, but we're not actually holding like the Urayim. And therefore, 18 minutes before gives us a buffer to make those last-minute preparations before Shabbos. It allows us to be mekayim, the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, by davening and then having another minute or two to be mekabel Shabbos before Shabbos actually sets in. That's something that we should be aware of. That if you go to shul on Erev Shabbos, you daven mincha. So after that, you want to be Mekabel Shabbos, hopefully a little bit before Shkia, in order so that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. In Yerushalayim, 40 minutes before, and the truth is, I was thinking about it, that the Yerushalayim minhag really allows you to do the Urayim, mamish the Urayim, to be choshesh for the Urayim lahalacha, that it's actually Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia, and gives you then another 20 minutes or so to daven mincha, to get to shul to daven mincha. So it could be that we're taking that into account. All right. What about ending Shabbos? Up until now, we've been discussing beginning Shabbos, end of Shabbos. So relying on the Gaonim is problematic for a few reasons. Meaning to say that Shabbos is over 13 and a half minutes after Shkia is a problem. First of all, the Gra, as we said, wrote that that's really only for the equinox day. It has to be adjusted for the time of year and for elevation.
In addition, we know that the Gemara says that there need to be three medium stars out. So if you go out 3/4 of a mil, 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, did anyone go out at sunset last night after sunset, 13 and a half minutes after Shkia? So maybe tonight you'll walk outside for a second, you'll take a look up, and you'll tell me if you see any stars. I would imagine that you will not see any stars 13 minutes after sunset. So how can we just sort of ignore that part of the Gemara? The Gemara says that night is when three medium stars come out. If you can't see any stars, because it's bright, and you can't see any stars, so it's hard to say that we're going to end Shabbos, we're going to start being over on Isurei Dioraisa, or start doing Melacha Dioraisa, when we're not really sure that Shabbos is over. The Shulchan Aruch does write in Reish Sadi Gimel, where he's discussing the end of Shabbos, that you should even be machmir for small stars, because we don't know what big stars are. So you should be machmir for small stars. So certainly, if we can't even see big stars after 13 and a half minutes, it would be a problem. There was someone who wrote an article in, there's a Shalavim journal. It's part of the broader Shalavim. It's called Amayan. You might see these lying around, right over here, Amayan. So there's a guy who wrote an article. He was like some type of like astronomy expert, and he, like on the equinox day, he set up like a place where there was no light pollution, and he argued that after 13 and a half minutes, you actually can see stars under the right conditions at certain times of the year in Eretz Yisrael. So, I don't know, it could be that really you can, and we just don't know how to see them, or we have too much light pollution. But Lamaisa, at least from our perspective, it seems hard to justify ending Shabbos 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. So what do we do with Lamaisa? So the Ashkenazic community in Eretz Yisrael basically accepts the Gonim, but adjusts it for the above concerns. And therefore, because times of the year, because of elevation, because we don't see three stars yet, we basically don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam. We are holding like the Gaonim, but we work with the assumption that the Gaonim, the 13 and a half minutes, is really only for a perfect, perfect day and certain conditions without elevation, and therefore it needs to be readjusted. So what do we get to? So there was a very famous Rav named Rav Tukachinsky. Rav Tukachinsky is the one who puts out the Luach. I mean, he's not alive anymore, but his children, his grandchildren, they do it now. And there's a Luach of Eretz Yisrael, which gives the official times. If you would open up, like, you know, a shul, you know, this book, it's like a little pamphlet, you see the Gabayim have it, the Luach of Eretz Yisrael. So there, he established that the only way to do this, we have to be able to tell when can we start seeing small stars. Because the Shulchan Aruch says we have to be machmir for small stars, so we know what medium stars are. He argues that you could start seeing the small stars when there's enough darkness in the amount of darkness in the sky that's necessary to see three small stars is when the sun has reached the point of 8.5 degrees below the horizon. That's the magic number, according to Rav Tukachinsky. 8.5 degrees. What? He waited, he looked outside, he waited throughout the year, and he kept track of the time when he felt you could see three small stars, and he did it in different parts of the country, and then he would be able to checking astronomical calculations at that time, whatever that time was, where was the sun at that time, how much below the horizon. And he came to the conclusion, that was his magic number, that you have to wait till 8.5. Okay, that's the amount of degrees. This is Rav Tukachinsky. 8.5 degrees below the horizon is when it's dark enough to see three stars. And generally, in Eretz Yisrael, this always falls out between 32 minutes and 42 minutes, 43 minutes after Shkia, depending on the time of the year. And this is the standard that's basically followed. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's always going to be between 32 and 43 minutes after Shkia. It's a lot more than 13 minutes. But it's always going to be 32 minutes or up to 43 minutes after Shkia based on the time of year. There's a Sefer Ochos Rabbeinu that records the practices of the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak. So the Chazon Ish apparently felt that 30 minutes after Shkia's night, he himself would personally wait 45 to 50 minutes, but he felt that if you wanted the Shuras Hadin, after 30 minutes, that's a little bit less than 8.5 degrees, after 30 minutes, it was already considered Laila, you could do the mitzvahs that have to do with Laila. he would wait longer, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. He wanted to anyway be a little bit more machmir probably on the issue, plus Tosef HaShabbos at the end. Svardin. So in the Sefer Yalkut Yosef, he quotes from the Rav Avadya. The Rav Avadya felt that you should follow, based on the Shulchan Aruch, you should follow Rabbeinu Tam, because that is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Plus, don't forget, where did the Shulchan Aruch live? He lived in Eretz Yisrael. You should wait all the way to Rabbeinu Tam for the end of Shabbos we're talking about, for the end of Shabbos. He writes for the beginning of Shabbos, the Gonim, but for the end of Shabbos, like Rabbeinu Tam, and he writes that, listen, the Shulchan Aruch lived in Eretz Yisrael. He knew how dark it was by Rabbeinu Tam's time, and it's really dark, and yet he still felt that that's the right time to wait. And therefore, Sephardim in Eretz Yisrael generally wait till Rabbeinu Tam, and that is true. I know a lot of Sephardim who, I wouldn't necessarily call them machmirim, but they wait for Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos.
Ramah doesn't argue with the
Shulchan. Ramah does not argue, that's right.
So
but the Ashkenazic Pesach was always to go with the Gra. It's always to go with the Gra. Okay, what about in Chutz Laaretz? What about in the United States and Europe? So Rav Moshe writes that certainly for the beginning of Shabbos, you have to wait, you do the Gra. And light 20 minutes before, this whole Urayim thing, okay. There are those, just pointing out in terms of the beginning of Shabbos, there are people in America, I think there are certain Satmar communities in America and also in Europe, that hold like Rabbeinu Tam, even on Arab Shabbos. Which means that they will start Shabbos like an hour after everyone else is starting Shabbos. It's dark outside, and they're still doing malach. I remember I was at the Siyam HaShas, I forgot, one or two cycles ago, and there's a Hasidish guy outside trying to get people for a minyan. So I said, yeah, okay, great, yeah, might as well daven now. So we get there, and we finally, I'm like, you know, it takes a few minutes to get people together, we finally get there for the minyan, and he's like, and it was nice. I thought we were davening Ma'ariv. Like when he was trying to get a minyan together, I thought he meant the Ma'ariv minyan. And it was really mincha. It was a mincha minyan. It was pitch black outside. But that's because he holds like Rabbeinu Tam. And he holds like Rabbeinu Tam all the way. So he holds that it doesn't get, it's not night until 72 minutes after sunset. So I sort of had to excuse myself from the minyan. Because I thought I davened mincha already. And anyway, I don't really feel like I should be davening mincha at that point. Okay. Rav Moshe, when he came to America, found that there were people that were keeping Rabbeinu Tam also l'kula, and he was vehemently opposed to this. And he wrote in his tshuva that he thinks people should not be doing this. They should not be starting Shabbos 72 minutes after Shkia. Okay, what about the end of Shabbos in America? So Rav Moshe writes, first of all, many argue that we should just follow Rav Tukachinsky, because Rav Tukachinsky's rule is going to be true. It's true in Eretz Yisrael. That was the degrees. But there are many who say, you know what, let's just follow Rav Tukachinsky. And if you follow 8.5 degrees, so it's generally anywhere between 40 minutes and 50 minutes in America. So in America, if you do 8.5, you get to 40 to 50 degrees in America. Because, 40 to 50 minutes, not degrees, 40 to 50 minutes, if you go with the same 8.5 in the United States. And the argument that we made is, listen, the sun is, the whole idea here is that once the sun drops below the horizon of wherever you are, it'll be the same dark in New York at 8.5 degrees as it will be in Eretz Yisrael, even though they're not on the same latitude, longitude. That's why you can't just do numbers. You can't say 32 minutes, because as you see, in America, clearly, it takes longer to get dark. So therefore, a much better way to determine is not based on minutes, because different places, it takes longer to get dark. Rather, do it based on darkness. How do you do something based on darkness? The number of degrees below this horizon that the sun is. So if Rav Tukachinsky felt that Eretz Yisrael at 8.5 was dark enough, we won't apply the 32 minutes, but instead we'll apply the 8.5 to the United States, and that's the amount of darkness that we know in the United States. It needs to be in each location. Just figure out whatever 8.5 degrees is. So this was a very standard practice in America. Rav Moshe felt that you should really be holding like Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, Rav Moshe writes that we're going to hold like Rabbeinu Tam in America, but we're going to readjust it for America. What does that mean, to readjust it? He meant, we need to figure out whatever Rabbeinu Tam is, 72 minutes, wherever that is, Let's figure out how dark that is based on degrees, and let's reapply that degrees to wherever location you're in. Let's say like New York. So he did a calculation, and he determined, based on what he was used to in Europe, based on how dark it was in Europe when they ended Shabbos, and he tried to assess in New York when it was a similar amount of darkness and figure out, well, how many minutes is that? Let's compare. Listen, he doesn't know exactly in what context Rabbeinu Tam made his psak, but he knew that in Belarus, in Russia, where he grew up, he knew that everybody waited 72 minutes. So he felt that that is a fair amount of time to wait in America. As dark as it was in Europe, he doesn't think Shabbos is going to be any later than that, because that's what they did for all the generations where he lived. They waited until a certain amount of darkness. So let's just get that same amount of darkness here in America, and then we'll be comfortable knowing that that's a fair amount of time. So he was asked in New York and New Jersey, and he came to the conclusion that you should. It's never later than 50 minutes after Shkia. So he, Rav Moshe. So he felt that that's what should be applied across the board. Do 50 minutes across the board, and that'll be enough time for sure to know that we're dark enough. 50 minutes across the board. So again, for Rav Tukachinsky, 8.5 will get you 40 to 50 minutes. For Rav Moshe, he just says, just do 50 minutes across the board for 50 minutes. And that's why some people might say like that they know that Shabbos ends 50 minutes after Shkia. That's because that was Rav Moshe's psak. And Rav Moshe felt that was Rabbeinu Tam. That wasn't the Gaonim. Right? Rav Tukachinsky was sort of saying, like, we're doing the Gaonim, but it's only 13 minutes and it's still pretty light out. So we have to, like, take into account elevation and 3 stars. So we're going to have to push things off. Rav Moshe said, no, we're doing Rabbeinu Tam. It's just that Rabbeinu Tam in New York is 50 minutes. It's not 72 minutes. I was used to 72 minutes in Belarus. In New York, Rabbeinu Tam is 50 minutes. Oh, but Rabbeinu Tam was talking about the Gemara, and the Gemara was in Eretz Yisrael and Babel. You're right, I don't know. Maybe it's earlier. In Achlami, maybe it's earlier. But I'm not looking to end Shabbos early. I just want to make sure that we're not ending Shabbos too early. So I know that this time is a fair time that Shabbos would be over. He also said, very interestingly, that we need to listen to this cheshbon. We have to reassess what the 4 mil are, right? The Gemara in Pesachim said it's 4 mil from Shkia to Tzeis. We have to reassess that in New York based on that time period now being 50 minutes. Meaning, according to Rabbeinu Tam, from Shkia to Tzeis, this is the Gemara in Pesachim, is 4 mil. And that's 72 minutes. Separate motion. Well, now that in New York we've assessed that Shitas Rabbeinu Tam would be 50 minutes, so now we have to figure out 4 mil. How much is 4 mil, right? Up until now, what have we assumed a mil was? 18 minutes, and that's why 18 times 4 got you to 72 minutes. But in New York, if the 72-minute period is really 50 minutes, we need to reassess how much is a mil. So he came out with a calculation. It's in the tshuva there. His calculation was that he split up the 4 mil into 16 units, right? Each mil into 4. So 16 units. So 50 divided by 16 comes to 3.1. And if 3/4 of a mil is ben hashmasho, so we 3 of those, that would be around 9 minutes, a little bit more, right? 9.3. So for Rav Moshe, he felt that ben hashmasho in New York is only 9 minutes, right? In Rabbeinu Tam's world, it's 13 and a half minutes. And the entire period of the 4 mil is 72 minutes. Well, in New York, it's 9 minutes. So for Moshe, this period of suffix between Shkia and, let's say, the Gaonim's time would be only 9 minutes. You have 9 minutes of Ben HaShmash, so suffix in New York, according to Moshe. Okay. Rav Moshe himself writes in the Tshuva, though, that he thinks that a Ben Torah and a Yorei Shemayim, even in New York, should wait the full 72 minutes. I mean, if you want to know what he thinks is okay to end Shabbos, so you can readjust it to 50 minutes. But he thinks that a Ben Torah and a Yorei Shemayim will continue following the straight-up 72 minutes that they always did in Europe, and as the Shulchan Aruch suggests doing, as the Shulchan Aruch is working with the 72 minutes. Therefore, Rav Moshe writes that a person who wants to be machmir should, or a person who wants to do it 100% right should do 72 minutes. Now, that doesn't mean that you're holding like Rabbeinu Tam, the Ikar Adin. Most people that I know that hold like Rabbeinu Tam, they're doing Rabbeinu Tam l'chumru, which means that the etzem, they believe Shabbos ends 40 minutes, 50 minutes, But they're machmir to do malacha, to wait 72 minutes to do malacha. Now it happens to be that in Eretz Yisrael, that chumrah is a little bit more of an issue. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we said we end Shabbos 32 to 43 minutes. So let's say, in my shul, they end around 43 minutes. Let's say 45. It's usually around 45 minutes. They end Shabbos. So you dive in Meirv. Meirv takes like 15 minutes. So you get home 45 plus 15. You get home 60 minutes. You still have to wait 12 minutes until Shabbos is over. So 12 minutes is a long time when you get home from shul once it's Shabbos. Just sort of sit around and wait for Shabbos to end. Another 12 minutes. In New York, though, if you're really holding like 50 minutes, by the time, you know, davening's over at after 12 minutes, 13 minutes, so you're over at 63, and then you got to get home, so it takes you at least 5 minutes to walk home, 68, 69, you know, it's only 3 more minutes to wait till the end of time. Most of the time you don't realize it. When you get home from shul, unless you drive home, but if you walk home from shul on Motse Shabbos, if you would just wait 3 more minutes, you've already been Mekai, you're made of time. So that's what Rav Moshe writes. That's what Rav Moshe writes to do. Hold on, we'll get to that right now. So now, hold on from the questions. I'll take the questions in a minute. Now, I just want to note that if you might think like, wow, so Rav Moshe is basically saying that we could be Mako for like around 8.5, 9 degrees. But if you really want to be a Ben Torah, you should wait 72 minutes. That was only in New York that he was saying that. Because there are places in the world where 72 minutes is actually a cooler. Okay, I checked in Stockholm. Stockholm, which is, you know, there's a bunch of cities up there north in like Finland area. There's Helsinki and there's St. Petersburg in Russia and Stockholm in Finland, I think it is. That Stockholm is in Sweden and Helsinki is in Finland. They're all right near each other and they're all very, very north. So I checked there for May 15th. I picked a random date, May 15th. After 72 minutes, the sun is only at 6.8 degrees. After 72 minutes. And in fact, in the summer, it never reaches 8 degrees. It never gets that dark. Meaning, when you get to like 12 o'clock at night, it's only like 7 degrees, and then it starts getting light again. The sun never goes that deep below the horizon, because they're so north on the globe, it never gets pitch black. Meaning, it gets darker at night in New York than it gets in Stockholm in the summer. So you actually, if you would do things based on Ma'alot, you never have those stars coming out. Okay, there was an old minhag in the United States before Rav Moshe came. The minhag in like the early 1900s in America was every Shabbos they waited 42 minutes. Every Shabbos they waited 42 minutes, which we see, at least according to Rav Moshe's cheshbon, or at least according to like, say, the 8.5 degrees being applied to New York, 40 to 50 minutes, sometimes that'll be okay, sometimes that won't be okay. So where did this come from, 42 minutes? Can anyone figure it out? Why did they just do 42 minutes across the board every single week? But why 42? Well done, but that's in our show. I'm talking about in America. In New York, in like the 1920s and 30s, they just did 42 minutes every Shabbos. For a very simple reason. They brought in Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia. So you know how you can know when Shabbos ends? All you have to do is, it's an hour after candle lighting. Candle lighting was 18 minutes before Shkia. So 18 plus 42, that's how they decided when Shabbos was over. Shabbos was always over an hour after candle lighting, which was always 42 minutes after Shkia. Okay, some practical applications. Let's talk about some practical applications. So one, we'll just talk about it very quickly. It's not so nogeya to you guys yet in halacha, but that's the din of hefsek taharu. A woman who's a nida, before she's able to go to the mikvah to be matayer, she has to make sure that she's not bleeding anymore. So one of the ways that she does that, that she has to do api halacha, is that she has to use a cloth and she has to check herself in that area to make sure that she's not bleeding. That's called a hefsek tahara. If the cloth comes out clean and there's no blood on it, so then she counts 7 days of cleanliness and then she goes to the mikvah. So that hefsek tahara needs to be done before night. It has to be done at the end of a day. If you do it at the end of the day, let's say today is Thursday. If a woman would do hefsek tahara now, today, right now, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it comes out clean, so then tomorrow counts as her day number one of her 7 days of tahara to be able to go to the mikvah. Many times, a woman will be running late and she'll realize, oh my gosh, it's so late, I haven't done a bedikah yet today to do my hefsek tahara. What time does she have until? So the halacha, she has until night. When's night? So Ashkenazim paskin, or in these areas of halacha, we paskin shkia. The day ends at shkia. So therefore, if the woman does the Hefsek Tahara before Shkia, the next day counts. If she misses the day, so the next day does not count. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that maybe we can allow her to do it for a couple of minutes during Banish Mashos. Why? He says, Sfek Sveika. Maybe the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam anyway. And I mean, even if the halacha is like the Gaonim and Shkia is the cutoff, well, Shkia is not really the cutoff. Shkia is Banish Mashos. It's still a Sfek. So it's a Sfek Sveika. It's a double Sfek. If I do a Bedika 2 minutes after Shkia, first of all, halacha might be like Rabbeinu Tam, and anyway, it's still day. And even if Bach is like the Gaonim, who said yet, though it's night? This period of Banash Mashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Now, that would be his Shkia. His Banash Mashos is only 9 minutes. But all the posts could basically in America say that you can't rely on that Rav Moshe unless you're like a real Talmud of his and you wait Rabbeinu Tam every week for Shabbos. Most people assume that that's not the case. And the standard practice of Pesach, at least amongst Ashkenazim in the whole world, is that the cutoff for Hefsek Tahara is Shkia. If you're 5 seconds before Shkia, you're good. If you're 5 seconds after Shkia, you're not good. It's already considered the next day. Okay, again, that one is a little bit less nogeya to you, but I'll tell you two things that are just maybe more interesting or more practical. Let me have three things. Number one, a baby who's born 5 minutes after Shkia on Shabbos afternoon. Baby's born 5 minutes after Shkia. A baby boy is born 5 minutes after Shkia, Shabbos afternoon. When is the bris? A week later, next Shabbos, is theoretically the eighth day. Next Shabbos. However, was the baby born on Shabbos or not? It was 5 minutes after Shkia. Now, 5 minutes after Shkia, none of us are ending Shabbos. We just said we end Shabbos 30 minutes after, 40 minutes after, some people 72 minutes after. Even if we hold like the Gaonim, the earliest we're ending Shabbos, right, in KTC, the earliest place they're ending Shabbos in Chicago is 42 minutes after Shkia. This baby was born 5 minutes after Shkia. So L'kol Adeos, wasn't he born on Shabbos? So this was asked to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says an amazing thing. The Chassam Sofer says that he holds, I don't understand, we hold like Rabbeinu Tam here. So if we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, it's Pashut that it's still Shabbos. So yes, you're going to do the bris milah for the baby on Shabbos next week. Now I realize that doing the bris milah is a malacha d'oraisa of chavala, causing blood. It's a malacha d'oraisa. It's mutter to do a bris on Shabbos only if it's a bris bismano. If it's a pushed off bris, then you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do a bris. But the Chassam Sofer writes that the bris can be done. Rav Moshe was asked the same shaila. He says that he thinks that if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you can do the bris on Shabbos the next week. But since most poskim like the Gra and the Gaonim, we really should assume that it's already Motzei Shabbos 5 minutes after, and therefore, at least regarding this question of giving a bris milah, and the bris milah should be done on Sunday. So even though he himself knows it's not Motzei Shabbos yet in terms of Shmir Shabbos, we're basically being machmir on both ends. We're considering it still to be Shabbos, but not considering it to still be Shabbos regarding the bris. Regarding the bris, we're going to say that we have to be choshesh already Sunday, and therefore the bris will be on Sunday.